Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Probably today we will terminate our study of the beautiful 23rd Psalm. But let me encourage you to read that Psalm regularly. No, pick a quiet time when you are alone and meditate upon each phrase, upon each thought that is involved. It is a beautiful psalm indeed. You know, David was said to be a man after God's own heart, and he was indeed. David basically was a good man, but David, in the final analysis, was just a man. David sinned terribly and suffered in consequence of his sin. Oh, but God put away the guilt of his sin and enabled him to continue to be known as a man after God's own heart. After his sin with Bathsheba, each time it's mentioned that David is a man after God's own heart, that sin also is alluded to, except in the matter of Bathsheba. Sin has its consequences, there is no question. Oh, but the guilt of sin can be forgiven. When I, in full recognition of my responsibility to God, and with a guilty conscience, I come in prayer as His child and plead for forgiveness. Friends, that is the advantage of being a sheep in His flock. That's the advantage of being a child in His family. Oh, that is the blessing that comes from being a member of the body of Christ, the church. And all of that is the same thing. Unless we are in the church about which you read in this book, then we're not a sheep in following Christ. It doesn't work that way. No. He said, you remember, John chapter 10, wasn't it? We started verse 1. He that entereth not by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Oh, but the shepherd, he's known by the one who keeps the door. And he opens, and the shepherd enters, and he calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out. Now, he said they follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow because they know not the voice of strangers. That's so important. And if you drop down to verses 27 and 28 of John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Oh, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man shall snatch them out of my hand. There is security in Christ. I need to understand that and give my life in humble obedience to His will. Oh, and then I can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guideth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That can be said by a faithful Christian. Oh, and to become a Christian is a very simple, basic, fundamental process. It's a matter of faith. It's simply believing what the Lord said, making that belief, that faith manifest in humble obedience to His will. That's the way Abraham was accepted of God. He did what God said. And through the ages, as God has revealed to us the activities of men, both the good and the bad, we observe that those who yield in humble obedience to His will are accepted of Him and blessed by His hand. And so it is with the sheep of His pasture. There was a certain man that was injured severely in a terrible storm that occurred. The wounds healed. He still had a little problem with it, but that was not a factor. That didn't bother him, the fact that he had been injured in the storm. No. It was anxiety in the fear of another storm. This could happen again, and he didn't want to be hurt and injured as he was, and he couldn't sleep at night. He didn't eat. He didn't rest well. He, Finally, his children built a storm cellar, a secure haven from the storm. And the man relaxed. He said, "Why, if there comes another storm, I can be perfectly safe, perfectly secure." Yes, that's what the Lord does for us, isn't it? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Now listen, "thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, anxiety is a factor that should not characterize a man made in the image and the likeness of God. As a matter of fact, Paul said in Philippians 4, did he not? Beginning at verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And sometimes circumstances will cause us to think, well, I can't rejoice. There are too many negative conditions. There's too much danger surrounding me. There's too much pain. There's too much anxiety. Why should I rejoice? Oh, the Lord is at hand. What? The Lord is here. Just as in Matthew 14. In the midst of a storm, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking on the water. His disciples were afraid. They cried out in fear. Oh, he said, "Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I." In the midst of the storms of life, with danger all about us, "Be not afraid. Be of good cheer." And how can I do that? The Lord's here. Oh, that passage in Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." The result, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." Friends, it is so important that I hear him and that I understand the thought presented by the inspired David when he penned the 23rd Psalm, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, David, of course, always put himself in the position of the sheep in relation to the good shepherd. The sheep is a helpless creature. As some of the trails over which the shepherd led the sheep were dangerous indeed. Oh, a lot of things could happen. You see, a sheep has no weapon. He is absolutely defenseless. Even a house cat has claws and fangs, and a dog can give you a pretty good nip, and the old horse can bust you up pretty good with those hooves. They are not totally helpless. A sheep has no weapon at all. And yet, he could be attacked by animals. What did he say? "Thy rod." Yes, a shepherd carried a rod, a hard wooden club, some 2 to 3 feet long. You remember what David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17 when he's talking to King Saul about going down to meet old Goliath? Why, sure. He talked about the bear and the lion that arose against him when they came to destroy the flock of his father Jesse. Why, he said, "I took him by the beard and smote him." How's that? He used that club on them. Now, of course, God had a hand in providing for him, because I have a feeling that with a bear and a lion, a club might be a little bit inadequate for weaklings such as I. But then if old Samson could take the jawbone of an ass and slay 1,000 armed combat troops, then God's power is limitless. So what do I trust in? My strength? My weaponry? No. Just as the sheep, I'm defenseless against the power of Satan. I can't control the affairs of this world. I can't make it turn out just like I want it to and prove to be thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That shepherd was ready to defend the sheep, because he loved the sheep. Now, the hireling, Jesus said, will flee. He doesn't care for the sheep. They're not the true shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Lord made that very, very clear, didn't he? John chapter 10, many, many times we've quoted that passage of Scripture. Sure, the good shepherd is concerned with the sheep. Thy rod and thy staff. You know, that staff that's carried by the shepherd has a crook in the end of it. sheep sometime might slip from a precipice, and he's down, oh, 4, 5, 6 feet on a ledge, and he's just there. He can't, oh, that shepherd takes that staff and reaches down and under the four legs of that sheep and brings him right back up to safety. So the sheep may walk through the valley and the shadow of death, but he doesn't have to fear evil. Why not? He has confidence. He has trust in the shepherd. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There is great comfort in the knowledge of the limitless power of God to provide for the faithful. Friends, I need that confidence. I need every day to read this book and to do my best to put into practice the simple teaching therein contained, and you can walk in confidence. You can walk without undue fear. You know, sometimes people say, well, now, that doesn't mean, of course, that you are not afraid of anything. Why, certainly not. Certainly not. Why, there are certain things that we don't do. Step out in front of speeding trucks, and if you do, you move right quick. Hey, I'm a little bit afraid to stand there and let the truck come on. Why, sure, nothing wrong with fear. That's all right. But what he's saying is, in the final analysis, when it comes right down to the fact of life and death, what was it Jesus said? Matthew 10, verse 28. Well, he said, fear not him who can destroy the body. After that, hath no more that he can do. But rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So then, I want to walk with a good shepherd. Oh, could lose my life? Why, certainly, you're going to lose your life anyway. I mean, I could be the subject of terrible conflict, disease. Why, sure. We're not exempt from that. Oh, but the point is, we're immortal spirits. And we've dedicated our lives to the Lord. Oh, and in this whole physical body, we strive to do His bidding, to walk in paths set forth by thus saith the Lord. And so when we put this off, no matter how it's done, whether in peace or violently, is not of primary importance. Why, sure, we're cautious, we take care, we're afraid of certain things, that's fine. That's a built-in safety mechanism. But when it comes right down to the facts of life, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, when you stop to think about it, we seek to provide peace of mind and comfort for our children, do we not? We provide for their well-being as best we can. We can't do that as God does. We can't do that perfectly. Why, certainly not. But we do our best to take care of our children. When they get to school, you remember, why, there's a patrolman or woman, and she loves those children. And she's right there with her stop sign every morning and every afternoon. Stops the traffic, enables those children to safely cross the street. Ah, yes. That's wonderful. And then vaccination. Children don't like that. Even we adults don't like to be stuck with a needle. But this is a precaution. This is assurance. We don't want them to suffer and maybe lose them to some terrible disease. So we make preparation. You know, we do that in various ways, do we not? Yeah, when you think about it, you've bought an automobile and you've paid a goodly price for it. And if you're the typical American, you may still be paying on it. And after all, that much money doesn't come easy. And if you had it, you may not want to dish it out all at once. But to say the least, you have an automobile. And it's an expensive item. What do you do? Oh, you insure that automobile. You pay X number of dollars every month for insurance. Well, somebody says, I've never wrecked a car. I mean, that's useless. I won't have any benefit from it. Friend, we hope we never wreck the car by the very idea. We hope we never have to use the insurance that we... Well, somebody says, then you get no benefit. That's the benefit. You are buying insurance. You're buying assurance. If indeed you should have an accident, hey, the repair is paid for. That's what your insurance is all. Oh, what was that? Thy rod and thy staff, they do what? They comfort me. If an enemy approaches, over which I have no power, the rod of that shepherd is right there. If I fall from safety and can't get back to, oh, thy staff. Yes, it brings me back to a secure and safe position. Yes, sir. We do that in life. We need to understand that in the area of religion, our relationship to God. What assurance do I have? Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. Consequence? Oh, I shall not want. No. You see, whatever is needed. What was it Jesus said, Sermon on the Mount? Oh, Matthew chapter 6, isn't it verse 24? Check me out on this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the principal, primary, I might say the sole responsibility of man upon this earth. You see? Because this life is very temporary. Nothing here will endure. As we've often said, you didn't bring it and you won't take it, and while you're here, it isn't yours. It belongs to the Lord. But I am going to live forever. Right. Oh, then I need to make preparation for my spiritual welfare. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He provides the sheep with sufficient grazing, and preferably in rich, lush, green pastures. That's what the Lord does. What did you say, Lord? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God, that's the church. In Matthew 16, verse 18, upon this rock, the eternal truth that Peter has confessed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this rock I will build my church, and I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 19. He's not going to build one thing, give Peter the keys to something else. No. He's going to call men out of the lost state into the saved state, church. Oh, and its government will be a monarchy. As he said in John 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Oh, in the world, oh yes, but not of the world. It is spiritual in nature. Oh, then seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Psalms 119, verse 172, let my lips sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what about it? Oh, all these things will be added unto you. Yes, sir. Though I walk through the valley of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff do what? Comfort me. Now, I may never be attacked by a wild animal. I may never fall off a precipice. I may never, in my personal defense, need the rod or the staff. That's not the point. It is the assurance that the sheep has that the shepherd loves him and is prepared to defend him in all the situations of life. That's it exactly. That's it. We as Christians walking faithfully in the footsteps of Christ have confidence in the Good Shepherd. Oh, His power is unlimited to provide things for my good. You know what Paul said, Romans 8, verse 28? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Why, sure. And he demonstrated that on later that same 8th chapter. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Oh, indeed. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not he also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? It's Jesus Christ who died, was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Anguish, nakedness, famine, peril, sword, even as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's he saying? Friends, in the house where the blood's on the door, the church, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, there is safety, there is security, there is salvation. We are the sheep of his pasture. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, many times where the shepherd would lead the sheep on a regular basis, there were poisonous plants that could be fatal if consumed by the sheep. And there were also thorns and thistles. And the shepherd, many times early in the spring, would take his mattock and go up and dig up those noxious plants and gather them and burn them. And that pasture became a table prepared. What is he saying so far as this applies to my situation? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What is he saying? Friends, nothing can overcome the child of God. Sure, can harm him physically, could take his physical life, make it difficult on him, could put him in prison, could beat him with many stripes. Paul endured all that, didn't he? Why, sure, and counted it a joy to be able to do so. That's all physical. That won't last. But if I faithfully walk with the Lord, none of this will be detrimental to me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. Friends, that's significant. You know, the shepherd, as he leads his flock to pasture, is concerned with the entire flock. And that's an interesting thought. But in the evening, and many of those trails and pastures were in the boiling hot sun, and those sheep had walked all day, they were tired and spent when they returned to the fold. But the shepherd stood at the door of the fold, and he took them one at a time. And if there were injuries, friends, he rubbed them with oil, mollifying, comforting oil. Oh, and he kept a pot of cool water, and he dipped out for each sheep a drink of cool water. Takes us one at a time. That's what the Lord is saying to Peter. When Peter asked about John, you remember John chapter 21 at verse 22, Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Salvation is an individual matter. It is my responsibility to the Lord. It is my privilege to be a sheep in his pasture. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's an interesting thought. I remember that Paul said, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, writing to the young evangelist Timothy, "These things write out unto you, that you may know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." House of God, yes. What was it David said? "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Friends, dwelling in the house of the Lord, it's very simple to get into the church, is it not? Sure. In Acts chapter 2, you remember Peter preached the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ, the gospel, and his Jewish auditors were cut to the heart. They believed his message. They said, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 37, Acts chapter 2. Oh, Peter said, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we are told that they that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And verse 47 tells us, "The Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." Added to the church? Yes, the church is the house of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 15. Oh, no question. In other words, the house, that is the household, the family of God, Ephesians 2 verses 19 and 20. Therein, there is safety. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the children in his family. We comprise those who have been cleansed in the blood of his Son. Then there's safety. There is no power upon this earth that can destroy. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Friends, won't you, in hearing the gospel, believe it with all of your heart, turn away from the practice of sin, confess his name, be buried with him in baptism? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Someone may ask, what is the length, breadth, height of that statement? I mean, what actually is involved in the statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Friends, you take any area of life, it doesn't matter. Yes, you're subject to the same physical elements that characterize the balance of the world. But that's all material, that's all temporary, that's all physical. If indeed you have given your life in humble obedience to the shepherd's voice, if you hear him when he calls, if you follow him over those lonesome and sometimes dangerous paths, he'll provide for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He meets all of my needs. He supplies my physical needs every day when I'm faithful. Does it through diligent effort, of course, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.